Very interesting, Martin Luther King speaking and making reference to Mahatma Gandhi. Joining us on the telephone right now is Rana Bose. Rana, how are you this morning, sir?
Very good. How are you?
Thank you. Now, Rana, you are a Montreal writer, a political thinker, just returned from 5 weeks in India. The number of fronts that exist to oppose globalization in the neoliberal context only grows with the amount of areas that neoliberal globalization attempts to impose itself. Arguably, the most advanced regional battle against this imposition is ongoing in India, one of the very countries that proponents of neoliberalization are looking towards to take the free market out of its economic crisis. What can you tell us about what's going on in India, Rana?
Well, one of the key things that has happened in the past, I'd say in the last 2 years, is the sudden realization of the neoliberal is that one major obstacle to their plans and goals is the tribal population of, you know, the central areas of India, which is about 22 out of the 28 provinces where the Naxalites or Maoists, as they are often interchangeably referred to, have been carrying out an important struggle to, for the past 25 years, an alternative form of development that ensures that there's no encroachment on tribal land. And the Indian government has allowed the signing of almost 4,000 MOUs, Memorandum of Understanding, with transnational corporations and Indian companies as well, to exploit the minerals, the water, the mountains, the forestry, the lumber, the rivers, and the enormous ore, you know, uranium, steel, iron ore, bauxite. And the tribals are resisting that because Schedule 5 of the Indian Constitution says that tribal land and tribal mountains and rivers cannot be occupied. That is at the crux. It's a major, major battle of for alternate development. Suddenly, a newer India, when I say newer India, I mean the post-liberalization India, has realized that what is standing in their way of becoming billionaires are these First Nations of India, the people who were there before there was an India. That has developed into a major, major issue, and now suddenly people are realizing that this is probably the biggest threat to the Indian state, as the Prime Minister of India, who was hobnobbing in Washington this past week, has acknowledged.
Now, the Indian state, partially to blame, if not entirely to blame, for their failure to represent the indigenous population, as you pointed out. And as a result of that, the Maoists' Naxalite movement today is much more than just a movement. They have actually become a parallel government in about 170 districts of India, granted the more rural districts of India, but they have become a parallel government. Does that elevate their status with the people? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about what being a parallel government actually means and consists of.
Well, for the past 25 years, the Maoists have kind of, just to go back a little bit on the history,
sure.
The Naxalites or the Maoists came about in 1967 after a peasant revolt in the north of West Bengal, again in a tribal area. And the then so-called left government in West Bengal launched an enormous counterattack on the Naxalite movement, which drew in thousands of people, a lot from the students and, you know, members of the education faculties and all the well-known universities in support of the Naxalites. But by 1975, the movement had been completely demolished, massacred, to a certain extent because of the mistakes of the movement itself, but to a greater extent because the state and the local so-called left government combined to brutally massacre almost 10,000 Naxalites over a five-year period. And it was understood that the movement was over. But now the Naxalites have recombined, worked quietly for the last 25 years, and the kind of development they have been pursuing is an alternate model. I think what they're proposing is that instead of the large industry, the huge corporations, the big car factories, the big steel plants and power stations, that an alternate form of development that encourages smaller industrialization and localized need-based development, and also to fundamentally make agriculture serve the needs of the domestic population, especially the tribals who form about 25% of India's population. So what the Maoists have done is for 25 years they have worked in the deepest forest areas, organizing the tribal people for their rights, for seizing the land that was taken away from them, creating an armed unit, a guerrilla unit that protects these areas, doing shifting crop cultivation. They've done about 700 miles of irrigation, which 60 years of it, the Indian government couldn't do anything about. They've brought in mobile education, mobile health clinics. Again, there's been nothing, not even roads after 60 years of India's independence from the British. So the Maoists have done enormous work in about 22 provinces, which is about a little over 170 districts of India. And now this alternate form of development is now being attacked by the state, by troops and, commando forces and counterinsurgency forces. So the Maoists are now resisting that. It's become a major issue. But the fundamental thing to understand is that it's not a battle of two armies. It's not violence against violence. It's really a development program that the Maoists took upon themselves, considering that after 6 years of independence, India has neglected these people completely, the First Nations of India, in terms of health, education, irrigation, food, etc.
One of the changes that a lot of people in India want to see is an overcoming of the male prejudice. The Maoists actually are that in action. They are comprised of about 40% of women, even within their armed movement. Is this the sort of action that the people in India are clamoring for and haven't gotten over the last 60 years?
It's very hard to state if male patriarchal dominationist tendencies have been overcome in these areas, but traditionally the women in the tribal areas are not given to easily succumbing to male force in any case. But the fact is that some of the commanders of the Naxalite units are women. And a large number of the major ambushes that they've carried out have been led by women commanders. It's not a mere show, because if you see pictures and videos of their armed units, you will see literally a sizable number of women marching by with rifles, from automatics to muzzle loaders. They have the full range.
So it's not just a case of PR statements saying we are going to make improvements for women. It's just actually been done.
Yeah,
women have been integrated.
It's definitely not a PR statement. They don't broadcast it as we've done this, we've done that. It's obvious they've accomplished something which the other left-wing parties are unable to.
Now, the Indian government itself has a 70,000 troop known as the Cobra Force to counter the Maoists. But on another front, recently, 10 writers, poets, cultural icons of India came out with statements supporting the Maoist position, the Maoist movement, and they were simply arrested. What is the fear, and is the emergence of these artists to support the Maoist indication that all levels of Indian society are recognizing the contributions for the betterment of all Indians?
Yeah. there's a large section of the intelligentsia, legal workers, Supreme Court lawyers like Nandita Haksar, who's a very well-known human rights lawyer, and of course Arundhati Roy, the well-known writer and people who run the Economic and Political Weekly and several other magazines out of Bengal and Mumbai combined together to make several significant statements in the mainstream press and television channels. Although it was called the Citizens Initiative for Peace, it essentially challenged the government to negotiate first and accept the responsibility for the 60 years of neglect before they decided that it was a law and order issue. So that has kind of put a little bit of a spanner in the works as far as Operation Green Hunt, which is what the government originally named it, was supposed to start end of September, then in October, and now in November. But what has happened is that it's kind of slowed them down. And what they're doing now is to basically go into all these 22 provinces that the Naxalites are active in. They're going into the tri-junction where three provinces meet and quietly launching attacks instead of announcing the major, you know, Operation Green Hunt. And the press is not being allowed there. There's not much reporting. So only those who are kind of either sympathetic or people belong to even to the Gandhian nonviolent movement, they are engaging in this intervention, which is kind of has had a positive effect. But at the same time, the Indian government and the Home Minister, Mr. Chidambaram, they're determined to carry out a military offensive against the Maoists and the tribals. One of the things to understand is that, you know, there are a lot of exaggerated accounts about the Maoist strength. They have three levels of armed units. One is their regular, what they call the PLGA, the People's Liberation Guerrilla Army, which some people say is about 15 to 20,000 fully uniformed and, you know, a regular armed unit, which is spread out in different battalions. But then there are the local, you know, people's militia, which are kind of like a ragtag band in many ways, not uniform, but reporting to their local alternative provincial governments. And then there are the village defense committees, which operate with bows and arrows and muzzle loaders. But there are various levels of resistance that they're engaged in. So far, if a tally is to be taken, then over 900 Indian security personnel have been killed in the last few years. And remember that in Afghanistan, 1,100 members of the so-called coalition forces have been killed. So you have 900 Indian security personnel killed in their battles against Naxalites. And the Naxalites have lost many of their leaders. When Naxalites die, their leaders die because they are in the forefront always. So about 200 Naxalite leaders have died in the last 2 years as well.
Rana Bose, thank you very much for giving us some in-depth on-the-ground information. From all signs, it doesn't look like the Maoist Naxalite movement is going away.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you very much.